Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean, the weekend edition. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Sunday and Saturday, because it takes 2 days to make a weekend. We're going to be talking about Elon Musk, or Elon Musk, as Jack Tame insists on calling him. The longest golf hole, the guy who played it, Dan Cunningham. He's in for a long run, even though he spends most of his time in a wheelchair. And somebody else from the Pleasure Dome to talk about it. But before any of that, the All Blacks, they did it. Let's see if we can wind Grant Fox up a little bit.
But Grant, you give it to me, because I just, honestly, I struggle, Grant.
What do you want, mate? What do you want?
I want
57-0 every week.
Yep, potentially that would make me happy, yeah. Grant.
Yeah, right. Well, this might be a short interview, mate, to be honest. What about the first 30 minutes? That wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was.
Right. Next question.
Okay, next question, and I'll try and put this into context, Foxy. I felt like, and I listened to Nigel commentary a lot, it felt like to me the match over the last 30, 40 minutes petered out.
Yeah, look, it struggled, and that's a fair point. But that didn't reflect the whole match, which is what your intro was about, and that's why I bit at you.
Yeah, look, I guess 30, what
my turn.
Yep, go.
36-10 is a pretty good result over there. They're a hard side to beat. They've got a bit of courage and a bit of character. They've still got some work to do in growing their game, but I thought we started the game very well. And what showed for me is that we tried to ring the changes to get some energy in the game, because what I do know is that the guys have been struggling to get into sleeping patterns. It's the hardest place to tour that way. They have struggled all week, and I think we paid a price for it at the back end of the game, or the last sort of 30 to 40 minutes, to be perfectly honest. I'm not making excuses, but it's not easy with a 16-hour time difference. I mean, it's the only tour I ever went on where I took sleeping pills to get to sleep on a regular basis. So not easy.
Jeez, we set a high benchmark for the All Blacks, don't we? It's not enough for them to win. They have to win the way we want them to win. Yeah, I think we should cut them some slack. Interesting to hear about Grant Fox's prescription drug addiction there and how that all started. I may have got the wrong end of the stick there. Hey, Jack's been watching Elon Musk, or Elon Musk as he likes to call him, making big strides in Australia now.
By 2024, 7 years from now, he wants the BFR ready to take people to Mars. What's more, he wants to use this rocket for transport within the confines of our Earth. Rocket takes off, blasts up through the atmosphere to a speed of 27,000 kilometres an hour. Rocket comes down in another part of the world. Rocket lands anywhere on Earth, anywhere, reachable in fewer than 60 minutes. Dreams are free, of course, and it would be an easy exercise, wouldn't it? Just to roll your eyes and dismiss these grand dreams, and certainly the time frames attached, as a bit of starry-eyed folly. Even Elon Musk says that sending people to Mars in 6 or 7 years is ambitious. But consider for a moment who we're dealing with here. I remember when they scrapped the space shuttle program in the US. I was living in New York for the last mission, and they marked it by flying a space shuttle on the back of a jumbo jet at low altitude all over the East Coast. They did several laps over Manhattan Island. I remember looking up at it and thinking how it represented the end of cosmic dreaming. You know, a lot of people at the time said, oh, well, this is the end of scientific ambition, of us dreaming for the stars. President Kennedy had inspired a generation of scientists, but money meant NASA would curtail its grandest ambitions. Complicated? Yep. Delusional? He may prove to be. But imagine just the self-confidence, the nerve you would need to stand up on a world stage and announce your own personal plans to build a colony on Mars. You've got to admire that.
Yeah, I suppose, although if I stood up and announced my plans to build a colony on Mars, I don't know how much admiration that would garner. I'm just saying, there's a fine line between being a visionary and being a complete raving lunatic. And we still don't really know which Elon Musk is yet, do we? Now, This guy, on the other hand, definitely a lunatic. He's played the world's longest golf hole from one side of Mongolia to the other.
How does Mongolia, out of all the countries in the world, you're based in Hong Kong, you're a rugby player, how does Mongolia get pulled out of a hat?
Well, we looked at a country that sort of geographically looks like a fairway. So, you know, Mongolia is just nomadic culture.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Yeah. A country that looks like a fairway?
We try to find, you know, a country that has no fences, you know, that has like a vast wilderness that potentially represents, you know, a fairway. And then, yeah, basically Mongolia was the place that stood up. So literally in the 2011 kilometers that I played golf, I didn't hop over one fence.
That is brilliant. So, in other words, Mongolia won out just over North Korea.
Yeah, I don't know how many fences they have.
Okay, so you start this journey, right? So, 2,011 kilometres, guys. Can you imagine that? You sort of underestimated just a tad the amount of shots you'd need to play.
Yeah, so we sort of worked out roughly, like, you know, if I'm hitting a 7-iron here and, you know, roughly how far it's going to go. Maybe it'll go like 170 yards if I hit it full, you know? And then so we worked out, you know, we might be chipping here and there. So I underestimated 140 yards per shot. So we came up with a rough par, which was 14,000. And we ended up hitting 20,093. So 6,093 shots over par.
Yeah, that sounds a bit like my golfing career. I was usually about 6,000 over par. By the time I got back to the clubhouse, talk about needing a beer at the end of that round. Now, we're going to talk to Dan Cunningham now, ex-Wheel Black. He has now got his sights on the New York Marathon. Yeah, that's right, he's in a wheelchair.
Does it always start with take us back to 1999 and what happened?
No, not to be honest. It's sort of, I try to be on the other side of the camera these days and ask the questions. But no, I have told the story a few times, and I'm always up for telling it because I think people are just genuinely intrigued about disability and what happens, and sometimes there's a bit of fear around it or fear of getting it wrong. So, yeah, I'm always open and keen to talk about it.
Well, do you mind telling us then what you were doing in 1999? You were at Otago University and living the good life.
I was. It was a very good time. First year uni student out in Otago and living the dream. And still playing footy. You know, I kind of came through the first 15 playing at high school, and a few of my mates decided when they hit uni to take a break or play a bit of social rugby. But I just loved my footy, you know, just an average kid who wanted to play a bit of rugby and carried on and was playing club rugby down there. And this one game just had one of those moments that didn't go to plan. And basically I put my head in the wrong place in a scrum and fractured and dislocated my 6th and 7th vertebrae, and that was it. It was pretty quick. Basically, it was a bit, well, as I say, a bit of a blur. But from what I understand, basically, I just dropped to the ground, and I was saying, I can't feel my legs, and people just left me there and kept me pretty still and waited for the ambulance to arrive.
So there you go, a little bit of inspiration to see you through your week. Just when you think you've got it hard, you haven't got it as hard as him. We're going to finish up with Vince Harder. He's another high-profile celeb involved with this Pleasure Dome show. Let's see if we can figure out a bit more about it. I've talked to people who have been to it. They seem to like it.
Look, what is coming up on my Facebook page is audience members who are dressing up to go to the show. Is that really happening?
Yes, it's very crazy, but, you know, in an awesome way. We've got so many people coming out to see the show at the moment. And, yeah, my Facebook feed hasn't stopped, and it's just been Facebook tag, you know, Pleasure Dome after Pleasure Dome. So it's been really great. And, yeah, the audiences have been fantastic every night.
So, Vince, is the audience required to dress up, or are they just getting into the spirit of things?
I think they're just getting into it. I mean, with people who know what the show is about, roughly when they, you know, go on the website and they read about it, know that it's an 80s show. They know that you know, they're coming into this world, this immersive, you know, New York 1984 streetscape, and you know, they come in, they're in another world. You know, when they come, so when they come dressed up and they're coming ready to see something different. They're coming ready to experience something different, and it's great. So. Yeah, they're dressing up because they want to come out and have a good time and, you know, and see the show.
Yes, it's a bit like this podcast. I know that you're all dressed up at the moment. I find that a bit weird that you all want to look like me. I mean, certainly the ladies, I don't know why you insist on shaving your heads, but, you know, whatever. I appreciate it. I appreciate the effort. I am Glenn ZB. That was Heather Duplessy Allen, standing in for Andrew Dickens. And that was the weekend edition of News Talk ZB. I will see you back here again tomorrow with a normal weekday version.